What up? Welcome to the Monday Mass. I'm Chris Cote. Who are you?
I'm Todd Richards, and I am here via the internet.
No.
Like, yep.
From the satellites?
Just figured it out.
Oh, my
Just
God.
Just figured it out.
Wow. So, this is Monday. This is May 18th. The year is 2020. Hasn't been the greatest year ever, but your day is about to get better because
Chris,
we're going to do so regardless.
Chris,
yes.
2020 started off like you open the oven and you look at the cookies that are in there and you see the cookies and they have little dark specks in them, and then you pull out the warm cookie and you bite into it thinking it's chocolate chip and it's a fucking oatmeal raisin cookie.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say it was poo cookie. No. Anyway, you know what?
That 2020 is a surprise oatmeal raisin cookie.
That's the past. It's going to get better from now on. From May 18th on, it's going to get better. We've got a great show for you today. Before we get into it, we're going to talk to Chris Ray about X Games Real Street. We're going to talk to Austin Smith. We're going to talk about surfing, skateboarding, snowboarding, and some nerd stuff that you're going to love. Before we get there, let's talk about our sponsors, Adventure.io. Todd, Adventure.io is in the works. We've been talking. We've been coming up with some amazing adventures, not only for those of you out there who want to go on a grand scale and do something crazy with one of their guides, but also if you want to just ride around San Diego on e-bikes with Todd and I for a day. Mm-hmm. We can go as big or as small as you guys want. You just got to get the Adventure.io app and you can be involved, Todd. K2 Snowboarding is another sponsor of ours, right?
K2 Snowboarding, they are, they've been one of our sponsors for a while. It's been real nice. We've had, we've seen them through their new team. They got their new team roster right now. And K2's looking to come back strong next season.
I think 2021 is going to be the year of K2. With that team they have put together, watch the hell out. Panic and Coffee and Tea. Hello. There you go. There you go. You
know I'm sure I have paraphernalia here somewhere.
You know, I know you got it all over your body, panicking body.
Yep.
Chemistry Surfboards, you got some of those behind you, correct?
They're right there. I got a whole rack full.
I
just found out my son is too big for – he used to just surf my boards, and now he's too big. So
yeah,
I got to hit up Chemistry Surfboards right this afternoon.
Get your orders in now. Summer's around the corner. You're going to need something. How do those boards cut through foam?
Oh, yeah, they're good. It's like Ibiza down there at the beach right now. There's so much foam.
I know. It's a foam party for the ages. You online. You online.com. That's our home away from.
Where we live.
Yeah. We live
there. They gave us their bandwidth.
It's a great website. It's a great hub for podcasts. If you haven't checked it out, you should. NanoCraft CBD. Well, of course I got it. Of course you know I started my day with this.
I just took some a few minutes ago. I needed the daytime stuff.
Hey, Father's Day is coming up, Todd. Father's Day is coming up, and there really is no better gift for the father in your life than a pair of Beneath underpants. The Beneath underpants that Todd and I both have been wearing have changed fatherhood for the better, because the things that make children, they're downstairs.
Your nards?
The nards. The nads. The Beneath apparel undergarments.
Hello. We're doing great in here.
And we have a code. Monday. So Beneath is BN3TH apparel on Instagram. Go there. Go to the website. Get your dad some underwear. Use the code Monday. Do it now. More to come there. Super 73 bikes.
Got one right here.
Yeah. You've been riding it every day to the beach, correct?
You know, I have 700 miles on mine now.
Damn.
Are you supposed to service these things?
I don't know.
We should probably talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, we should. Well, you can follow them at Super73, and we've got codes. They're for VIP friends and family.
Hit
only.
Us in the DM.
You ready for surf news?
Yep. Are we starting that already?
Yeah.
We get through everyone that sponsors us?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ready to go.
Okay, let's go. Surf News.
Surf News is brought to you by
Chemistry Surfboards. Not that one. Chemistry Surfboards will shape you aboard for this summer. South swells are in the water. The water's warm. We have a pandemic going on, but you can still go in the water in certain places, and that's a great escape. So get a chemistry surfboard, go in the water. Let's do surf news, go.
I've been trunking it every day this week. I rode my chemistry board on Monday, and life is good. Let's just say that. Here we go. And speaking of good, we're going to start with good news. This is good news on a global scale. Tahiti, France, Italy have all announced that they are open for surf business.
Really?
Tahiti planned it, or didn't plan it, but it happened in Tahiti just in time for one of the swells of the first, like, major swell of the year, probably one of the swells of the year for Tahiti. Chopo has been absolutely firing and just in time. Imagine, you know, it was actually a really good excuse, Todd, if you were in Tahiti and it was this big, but it was
to not go.
You could have been like, I was totally going to surf. And but it's illegal.
Where would you go to see footage of these amazing waves at the end of the road?
I think this was on Surfer Magazine's website. I know the WSL has a bunch of sessions up there right now. So let's say worldsurfleague.com. You can see more. It's pretty cool because it's really a locals only kind of situation. And there's a bunch of teenagers who have this kid, Gilbert, who just freaking charges, is so sick to watch. And then you got Michelle Perez. And, you know, all the Tahitian local surfers that rightfully so have had their pick of the litter during these first insane swells.
Chris, so, can I ask you a question? Shifting gears here.
Yeah.
So I heard rumor that the WSL is kind of switching things up a little bit. Is there any rumor to like a contest coming up at Kelly's Wave Pool, moving away from the traditional 2020 format?
I know of the same rumors, but I have no factual evidence.
Cough if they're fact.
I have no factual evidence.
Just blink.
I don't know these things.
But
I don't
work for them.
I do work for them, but I get the news they send me.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes.
Well,
it's a good rumor though. I let me just elaborate on the rumor, just in case people don't know what I'm talking about. So there is a rumor floating around out there that the 2020 schedule is canceled. The rest of it's canceled, and they're going to do individual events with low fanfare.
Somebody's coughing. I don't know. I know as much as you know, and that's just what I've read on some gossip blogs.
Right.
I do have facts, though. I have facts and figures.
Go for it. What do you got?
Todd, last week, something unprecedented happened. It was a global surf film premiere with a pizza party.
Yeah.
And this is put on by Stab and Vans for the Wade Goodall film Pentecostal. And I signed up via Stab's website to get a pizza to watch the film. And I did it just because I wanted to see how this whole thing worked.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to work.
It was flawless. At about 5:30, a pizza showed up at my house. I just texted Ashton Goggins from Stab. He says they did 600 plus pizzas. They had thousands of responses, but they did 600 pizzas on a global scale. They don't know how big the numbers were for the actual film premiere, but it was huge. And if you got the chance to watch it, it was pretty rad. They streamed it live on YouTube. And then after the film, Tanner Gadowskis and the Van Surf team did a intro Q&A. After the film, they all came back and Tanner asked them all questions about filming. It was Dane Reynolds, Nathan Fletcher, Haz was there
in like a Zoom call. Yeah,
a Zoom call. Shane Fletcher, who shot and edited this film, we're watching right now the last section of this movie. It's a P-pass section that is just psychotic. Talk about growers. These are absolute growers on a massive scale. The film itself to me is 10 out of 10. That's my review. 10 out of 10 stars, bars, whatever you got. Pentecostal rules. Did you watch it, Todd?
I did. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing. I saw a bunch of Dane's waves, you know, Wade's waves. I mean, it's really good, though.
So far, we're only in May, but the Pentecostal is film of the year. So far. We'll see if anybody can come in and swoop that prize away from
I like the way that it's kind of changing up the game as far as, like, you know, I didn't think it was going to work. I thought it was a great, like, gimmick. But it fully worked. Like, dinner in a movie is, I mean, that is a game changer. I don't know why more people don't do that. You could do it with beer or whatever.
Yeah, or you could do it with panic and coffee and tea.
Right?
A morning surf film premiere. See, that's one thing about surf film premieres is they should happen in the morning. Because I remember...
to get you hyped.
Yeah, I remember going to La Paloma and going to these big premieres. They're always at night, and you go there and you watch it, and you get so excited to surf, but it's nighttime, so you have to wait all night, and by the time you woke up, you're already over it. Surf film premieres should be in the morning. Take note. This was a clip that was painfully amazing, very FOMO-inducing. Todd, have you watched the Blair Conklin skim session at the Palm Springs Surf Club?
I did see that, and I also saw Kalani Robb like really playing with a radio-controlled surfer.
Oh,
that wave, I mean, it looks like it's ready to go. We know people. I got a mask. You got a mask.
Got a mask, but I don't have an invite.
Let's get one.
This was they used the Moto Winch, whipped Blair Conklin straight out there. So Blair Conklin is one of the best skimboarders to ever do the damn thing.
Yeah.
And in terms of style, you watch him skim, it's impossible not to see a John Florence influence style. I mean, he is so smooth to watch. Look at that.
It's so rad. And like, you want to get lots of Blair Conklin, just go to Beefs TV on YouTube.
Wow, that looked easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Dude, the little ollie off the setup wave.
Oh, it's insane.
It's nuts. And there's that little radio-controlled surfer. Look at it.
We have not received the invite to Palm Springs Surf Club yet. But if we keep talking about it, maybe we will.
Right? Beefs TV. You get lots of skim action there. Hot skim action.
Yeah, we should be doing this freaking broadcast from right there in that pool. Kalani, what up? Files are in the computer. Please. Okay. Moving on. The last bit of surf news we have is a banger, Todd. You brought this to the table this morning, and I'm already scared.
What?
You talked about
it. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we were going there.
What?
Okay. Look, there was Transworld surfing. There was Kelly Slater's pro surfing video game.
Okay.
You know, there were sharks in those games. You ever think what it would be like to be the shark in a video game? See, that tickles my fancy. Okay, the surfing thing, anyone can be the surfer, but you ever wanted to play as a great white shark? Yes, the answer is yes. You can go out there, a new video game is out, and it's coming out this summer.
Just in time for summer.
Basically, you are a great white shark, and you go and you eat people.
See, I love this. This should
man eater.
This should go across all genres. You should be able to be a bull, goring bullfighters and smashing people
in
the running of the bulls. You should be a snapping turtle, but eating people back.
Grizzly bear.
This to me looks like you remember that video game Echo the Dolphin?
Yeah, but it's like Echo the Dolphin pissed.
Yeah.
Right. So check it out.
Plenty of blood and guts.
We're gonna need a bigger boat. Man eater coming out. Oh, actually, it comes out in like a week. So, here she comes.
Oh, I'm glad you saw that thing.
What thing?
I'm texting our next guest.
Anyway, man eater. Are we moving on from surf news?
I think unless you have more surf news, Runacell Swell in Southern California has been fire.
Yeah, it's been good. The red tide's kind of gone. Now we're just left with like a latte on the beach every morning. We have like gross after foam. But there's a tropical storm / hurricane that's about to hit the East Coast. Did you see that? So unfortunately, as if people didn't have enough crap to deal with, they've got to deal with a potential hurricane, but also it will deliver wavy nuggets to the people up the Eastern Seaboard.
Speaking of crap to deal with, we're going to go ahead and deal with this guy's crap, even though we love him. Skate News is brought to you by Adventure.io. Get the Adventure.io app. You've got some amazing skate opportunities to get involved with. And this is who I was talking about, who we're a fan of, and who is part of a huge event that just went down via the internet. It was the X Games Real Street Contest.
Wow.
So, there he is right there. One of the masterminds behind the winning gold medal back-to-back video featuring Chase Webb. We've got Chris Ray. What's up, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you guys?
I'm good. I'm going to
We have one of the judges as well.
And spokespersons. His name is Lee, and we're not going
to
say
Lee. Lee's trying to figure out how to do the audio, and while Lee's connecting.
Yeah. Let's go to the source. Chris
there
Ray.
There he goes. Lee DuPont.
Now that's Chris Ray and Lee DuPont right there. Lee DuPont, a host, used to host a show on the Ride Channel that was awesome. And he hosts a cooking show on
his Instagram, really.
And he's cooking right now.
I am.
What you cooking up there, Lee?
Well, 17 years ago today, a player got taken off the market.
Oh, 17 years. Wow.
My anniversary today, so I'm making grandma tacos requested by the roommate. Wow.
All right. You and your roommate. All right, let's get into it. Chris Ray, so every year X Games Real Street comes around, you know that you have to make an impactful video. It's shorter than what you'd say like the average web drop is, so it's
totally
all hammers. So tell us about the process of working with Chase Webb on the gold medal winning video for 2020.
So this was our second year working on it. We were super fortunate to get gold last year, and they asked us to come back, and this year was a lot more pressure. I think I put it more on myself just because there's so many gnarly skaters in it. And I had never won, 2 years in a row. I've gotten gold before with Mike Mo and placed top three many other times. But this was one year that was really special for me that I really wanted to take this one, I guess. So it was awesome.
You have three X Games.
Three.
Where are
yeah,
you?
I've got three now.
You have one with you?
I got them right here.
Yeah, let's see these medals.
Oh, wow.
So
there's
a silver with Chris Cole. And then I did top three like many other years. But they used to give us like a watch or something. Then this one was Mike Mo, so that was cool. And then Chase last year, and this year Chase again. So I'm stoked.
Wow. Hell yeah!
Hey, all Lee, right. you were one of the judges. Like what do you look for being like a cinematographer coming into this? And you got to like analyze, not only the tricks but actually the clips as well, and the way everything is filmed. What's it like? What do you?
That's they brought me on just to do that part. Like they have Chris Cole as a judge, and obviously he's going for the skating and the technicality and how hard tricks are. I was looking at that too, and then they have Mike Burnett with another judge. He did like the hammer factor, maybe or how well the whole part's put together, the flow of it all. But I was looking for what Chris was held to do, which was put together a full minute piece, make it flow, make it look good. He had a couple errors in his. I docked him.
Hey, Lee, I wish I knew you were a judge, man. I would have like sent you some cookies and maybe like some gift baskets or something, but they didn't tell us.
There's only one way to my heart. We all know what that is, right? I got your 12 pack. Thank you for that, Chris.
next year.
Yeah. And so Chris, when you go into something like this, it's not for a sponsor, it's not for an announcement, it's just basically you're in this to not only showcase, of course, Chase's amazing skateboarding, but to win this thing. And obviously that formula, you've done it before. So when you're selecting tricks and the placement and everything, are you thinking, I want to win this contest? Or are you just thinking, I want to put together the best part ever, whatever happens, happens?
Well, it's funny because, obviously you want to win and that's your goal, but the way I edit parts, it's no different from editing a real street part. I like to open it up with something very heavy because everybody knows your attention span is just so short nowadays. So I like to open it up super heavy. So it just sets the tone and people are like, damn, this is going to be good. And then obviously you want to end it heavy to keep everybody stoked. But, That's kind of basically like my formula in it. I enjoy doing it. I love doing it. It's super fun. And said it's not for sponsors or anything. And what's rad too is that like filmers are getting love. Like all these dudes are getting showcased, and that's unusual. Usually we're behind the scenes. So
you already had your jump on this, dude. You already showcased, Lee.
Yeah, you were in charge.
Chris, we got medals over here too, buddy. You don't got one.
Oh, damn, look at that one.
Transworld Skate Awards.
Wow. Jump on that. You'll never get one of these, Chris.
I won't get one of those. I wish.
I got a question for both.
I'll trade you.
I got a question for both of you guys. I know you both have filmed with some heavy skaters, Chase Webb in particular. A lot of the spots that you guys filmed and the tricks that he's trying were definitely tricks that he could have gotten super just destroyed on. And I always wonder this when you're out on these sessions, and it looks like you guys were probably like one-on-one for a lot of these sessions, but is it scary filming a guy who will literally try and do anything on rails, gaps, ledges, all this shit that could really mess him up? Is it kind of scary when you're filming with some of these guys?
So it's scary in the part that like this contest is strict on a deadline, you know, where usually when you work for a company and a guy gets hurt, you can talk to everybody and say, hey guys, we're going to push this a few months because, you know, guy hurt his knee or his arm or something. But with this one, you know, it was scary because even now I'm like, Chase, if they ask us to do this again, we should start stacking now just in case when you go try the heavy stuff, you get hurt. What if we don't get to film the whole time? So it's definitely in the back of my head all the time. But once we get to that point to where I'm like, we have a full part, I feel good. After that, everything's bonus. And I'm like, go wild, dude, and don't get hurt. But, you know, obviously I worry about it.
Crazy. Hey, Lee, I got a question for you. What's your advice to kids coming up that are, like, trying to get into filming skating? And, like, what's the biggest pet peeve that you have when you see just, like, Instagram clips and things? Is there one thing that you can kind of point out that kids kind of could up their game right away with?
Instagram clips are all like all the, everybody films it the same. You watch the best in the world do Instagram clips and they look the same as, you know, everyone else as a kid. They're all using an iPhone, using the same thing. But for filming wise, it bugs me. I talked with Bill Schrobeck the other day on how every single kid nowadays seems to copy the Bill Schrobeck, Fat Bill, Supreme video, zoom in on the face, down to the feet, that type of thing. And skating is supposed to be artistic and out there and you experiment with your own shit. And they're not. They're just following the leader, you know. So if people tried their own stuff, with their own cameras, not everyone is 3-time gold medal winner, rich like Chris Ray is. It can afford red cameras. So
I'm far from rich.
I meant in love.
Chris, I'm gonna ask you this, and then Lee, you can answer about Chris. So Lee, actually, in the 0 days, really developed a style that you could see in the editing and how you film those quick cuts, those hammer clips. Why don't you, if you can, tell us, just pretend he's not here because, you know, he accepts compliments differently than others. Pretend he's not here. Tell us
what, he's gone.
Tell us what kind of Lee's filming style meant and mean to skating and kind of where he sits in the hierarchy of skate cinematographers.
Well, he's a legend. He definitely, dude, I grew up watching his videos, you know what I mean? Like I was all about Zero Kid, wanted to be Jamie Thomas. Just those videos, they'd have their own look, and like Lee said, you know, like everybody right now is copying each other. Everybody is copying each other. But before, like growing up, you had you just had like specific companies that you knew, like they looked a certain way. You could walk into a skate shop and see a video playing and you'd be like, that's a Zero video. You know, I know it is by looking at it. And, you know, I think that that's definitely gone away a little bit, which is unfortunate, but it's also because there's so much content out there.
And for you, Lee, tell us where Chris Ray sits in the pantheon of cinematographers and filmers, and what does he do well that you like?
Let me get lotion first before I jerk him completely off.
Emotional. This could get emotional.
The front to back across the board, how he's not just like guys will go dark while they're working on a video. Like you don't see much out of Ty right now. You know, he's working on a video. Chris incorporates everything, the daily sessions, the new product he's working on with Kessler Cranes. Can I drop that name?
Yeah, it's one of them. Yep.
All right. And then so all the way across the board, Chris is really good at incorporating the guys day-to-day skate without giving up too many hints on what's coming down the pipe. At the same time, he stockpiles and builds his footage to a bigger plan, which is a bigger project, which is like the Chase project right now that he did. The Wes one that dropped the other day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The way he incorporates everything. His filming style is kind of whack, but I mean, you know, like, everybody's good though nowadays. Everybody has like, so, you know what I mean? They're all good at what they do. It's just like, now it's more juggling all aspects of one whole project than anything else, you know, and he's good at doing that. Just wish there were less photos of yourself on social media, but everything else.
Hey,
is-
I have the only place like one today. That was
copy me and just go waist down. You know what I mean?
Film your crotch more.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get flagged.
Hey, for both of you guys, since we've all been in lockdown mode, so much has come out of the vaults. You know, we're seeing, you know, all kinds of amazing footage from New York, all this kind of throwback stuff that's being unearthed and shown to the world. What have you guys been watching through all this stuff, and what has kind of caught your eye? Maybe it kind of got you in a sentimental way or just got you stoked. What is the best quarantine clips that you guys have been seeing?
Dude, I've been editing. I'm trying not to watch all that stuff. And it's funny because even like what Lee was talking about, how everybody's just copying each other, like, my fear too is like watching all these new videos and like adjust, like thinking I need to adjust to that, you know. So I'm kind of just editing. I have enough edits to keep me busy the rest of the year. I'm just working on those, and dude, it's been overload on skate content. Like I can't watch it every day like I used to.
What about you, Lee?
What have you been watching?
Watch your shitty Seahawks replay every
day. Dude, whoa.
I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. Sorry about the cursing folks at home, but this guy with his Seahawks.
Hey, look at my chair, wow. Dude. Look at that chair. You see that?
A couple of good – yeah, get out of here. I bet it's been farted on. Yeah. A good one to watch for the people at home is Aaron Mays is going live. He does it, I think – it's not a specific day. It's like Fridays or, you know, whatever. He did Saturday the other day, but they'll do these talks. He'll bring up somebody from way in the past, and he has all this old – he's an old filmer, has tons of knowledge, did, like, early FTC videos and stuff like that. He's awesome. Follow Jake Rosenberg. He's been dropping gems.
Yeah.
He's the guy that did all the early Plan B videos.
State
Street 90, stuff. What's that?
93 – is that at 93 until?
No. That's no. 93 till is – ooh, I don't know. There's – Pete Thompson is he's not 93 till, is he? Yeah, he might
be like 90 till or something.
No, Jake Rosenberg is actually Jake Rosenberg. He's the guy that made like This Is Not the Next H3 video, Shackle Me Not. He had a part in that Questionable video, which is arguably the greatest video of all time, next to this one. No, it's much better. Just that's a joke. Follow him. Follow Will Sasso, the comedian. He does this clapathon thing.
Oh my God. But follow Will Sasso. That's he's really good.
Those Fridays, Saturday nights, he just claps for 2 hours straight. It's awesome to watch. That's my little tidbit for you at home. But Jake Rosenberg, Aaron Mesa is good. Karel Tapp just went did a live show. What was that on Friday? I think. Yeah, I think Friday where they did yoga with. Frank Gerwer and Rick McCrank.
Wow.
At 10 a.m. Then they went into 15 minutes of Kenny Anderson making one of his hippie fruit juices. Then they did 15 minutes of, was it the bot? No, it was Manchild, like doing show and tell around his apartment. Then they finished it with Jake Rosenberg and Mike Carroll having a talk about they had Spike Jones and Megan did a chat for about 30 minutes.
Okay. About
the early days of Girl and all that stuff, and then they did
better guests than we do.
Yeah, that show's heavy. That's not
I mean, not you guys. Usually you guys are better. I'm putting you guys in a different class.
I was mentioned in three of those segments, mind you, so they wanted me on. I just wasn't available for it.
Yeah, you just need to just buckle down on the cooking show, Lee. I tell you, you could be driving a Lamborghini and you just don't lean into it.
Not
everyone is allergic to money.
Fiber in their life like you, Todd. Okay.
So I love carbon fiber. It's true. Guys. I do like it.
All right. So, hey, Chris, you said editing right now. What are you editing for? What's next? What can we expect to see from Chris?
It's a DC video focused around Europe, guys, and it will launch on Thrasher first week of June for 5 straight weeks. And there's a part dropping every week. And it's got like Matters Apps, Thine and Costa, Joseph Scott, Yako. Whole team's going to be in it, so just working on that.
Hell yeah. Yako's in my top 5 skateboarders right now.
He's amazing.
Hell yes. All right, guys.
Not in mine.
Not in
yours. Chris, how do you have hair gel in on a Monday morning?
What do? Every day I wake up and I get ready and I go. Like, it's a full day.
What?
It is a full day. Every day, dude.
I'm in my skivvies in my backyard chasing butterflies, man. Bro. You're on lockdown.
Woke up at 6 and got ready, man.
That's not going to do a lot for us, Lee.
You're right. All right. You got me there.
Some beard gel, maybe. All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Chris, on back-to-back X Games Real Street Gold and all the bling that you have collected. Lee, congratulations on your video. Is that a video of the year award? What's that video for? What's that one for?
Fourth annual Trans Women's Gaming Awards video of the year.
What video?
You know what video it is. The only one that matters in all of 2000 and beyond. Minefield doesn't count.
Just like you.
Put your medals back on.
And Coors Light, thanks for the new can. Check it out. The biggest news to drop after Chase Webb's double back-to-back gold. Coors Light came out with a new sunglass can, bro.
Oh, thank you for that.
Wow. Time.
Sponsor plug. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
See you guys later.
Later, dudes.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love those guys. Talented group right there. Okay, so again, X Games Real Street, you can still watch it. You can't vote for it anymore. But it's amazing. 1 minute clips, you're gonna love it. The other skate news that we saw, Mason Silva. This is a huge sponsor switch. Mason Silva is now riding for Real Skateboards.
That's a good come up.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mason Silva fits Real very well.
For sure. No, I think he was on the short list, the top three for SOTY for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So Real Skateboards is located in San Francisco. And I love that for him, he goes, yeah, I'll come to you. You got to think San Francisco has to be the most intimidating, heaviest skate town in the world to go film at, because it's all downhill and it's just all psycho. And
dude, how's that double line is mental.
Handled easy. In other skate video drop news, Jen Soto and Mariah Dunn have dropped a video for Adidas. They're skating through LA, Miami, and Spain. They got Samantha Narvaez and friends. And again, just more factual evidence that women are repping harder than ever. And this video right here just shows you. I mean, I'm loving that it seems like once or twice a month for the past 2 years, we're seeing a new female-led skate video drop. And this one right here, I mean, this is among the best of them. These two ladies rip.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, see, mesmerized.
I am mesmerized.
And they'll both be competing in the Olympics in 2021. And I'm very sure we'll have them on our other show, Due Tour Live, sometime soon, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That'll be show plug. So we got you bookended with awesomeness. One more thing in skate that we were excited about, Todd, you had texted me at 1 o'clock in the morning, Friday night, saying, wake up, go watch the new Creature video. David
Gravett. Yeah, dude, it's mental. Like, we were talking just about how if you could skate like somebody, I think I'd want to skate like David Gravett.
Yeah, this
is crazy.
The whole thing was so good, and I actually did not know this, but they've been stacking their team. And
Creature's always been like they're quiet killers. Like everyone that's on that program is so damn good.
Don't sleep on the Creature team.
No.
Go watch the film. It's on Thrasher Magazine. This is a John right here. Full rip.
So good.
In other skateboard news, just kind of raffling through my brain real quick. Tony Hawk had a Tony Hawk Pro Skater kind of video shoot with Jack Black at the Barracks. You should watch it. It's very entertaining. Colin McKay is back on Vert, ripping. Go to his Instagram and follow that. Right now, Tony Hawk is working on a Never Been Done series at his ramp just around the corner. So
Also, congratulations to Sky Brown. She did her first McTwist last week on Vert.
Oh, my God. And it was perfect.
There we go.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to snow news. Snowboarding news is brought to you by K2 Snowboarding.
And here's the deal. We have a guest coming in who is live. Mount Bachelor in Oregon kind of opened. What?
I'm excited. Go
ahead. Are you okay? All right. I'm sorry. So there's been a couple of resorts in Oregon that have opened up. Last weekend, Mount Hood opened up. They basically decided to run the lifts, run the social distancing game, and let people come up there and snowboard. Be smart. And now Mount Bachelor has followed suit, and we are joined by Austin Smith via Oregon. Where are you, Austin? Are you in? Where are you?
Hello, Todd. Hi, Chris. Hi.
How are you?
I've never met you, Chris. This is exciting.
Yeah,
Todd, nice. I've met you plenty. Less exciting.
Yeah, way less exciting. Where are you? What's happening? What's going on?
I'm in Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
And yeah, resorts are starting to kind of do a soft opening.
You went to Mount Hood this past weekend?
Yeah, I went to Timberline, and it was awesome.
What's it like? Like, what's the whole vibe that they're throwing at you guys as far as, like, you know, following all the crazy rules that we have to follow now?
It's pretty much just a game of if you can get a reservation, you're psyched.
Okay, so it's like you got to get –
okay. It's like concert tickets, trying to get, I don't know, what's your concert back in the day, Woodstock or whatever.
Doobie Brothers.
And, yeah, like, here at Bachelor, I haven't been able to get a ticket yet. It sells out in, like, 8 seconds. And I'm, like, sitting there. They go on sale at 6 o'clock, and it's, like, refresh. And then you see it, and it's, like, 500 tickets available, and then it's gone.
Really? So it's not, like, it doesn't matter if you have a season's pass. You've got to, like, get into some kind of, like, a lottery to get a ticket to go.
Not a lottery. You just have to be quick on your finger trigger. Because they're only allowing 500. And I went to Timberline the other day. They're only allowing, I think, 250. But I was just quick enough or the right timing and was able to get one of those tickets. And then once you're there, it's, like, the most relaxed ski resort you've ever been to because it's
right.
A private resort. It's you and
– yeah, like – private mountain for you. What about
the
lift lines and stuff like that? Do they have, just like you'd be at a supermarket, you just wait in your little zone?
At least when I was at Timberline, there just weren't any lift lines.
Oh, yeah.
There was like
50 people there.
There's so few people. And, you know, you figure they sell 250, 500 reservations. Probably not all 500 of those people are going to be there at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of spread out throughout the day. And I know at Bachelor, they have 10,000 acres open. And so that's one person for every 2 acres.
Damn.
So it's pretty distanced.
Did it feel pretty good to actually just do, like, kind of lose yourself and just doing some turns and kind of screwing around?
It was awesome. I mean, honestly, yeah, Timberline in the wintertime is a little bit featureless and a little bit flatter. But it was the best they've ever had at Timberline. I was like, this is epic.
Wow.
And just because you're pretty grateful for having it when you haven't had it for a little while. And
so
I don't know if
you've
ever been to the fancy places like the Yellowstone Club or those
private
I haven't. Resorts around the world. But I was like, oh, this is what maybe that feels like. Cool.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, not only you go up there and you're doing all, you know, this exciting snowboarding stuff, but you're also in the midst of building out another – I'm going to live in a fire truck deal. What's going on with your project where you're basically starting with a shell and basically making a camper van?
I didn't start with the shell. I started with a frame. There she is out there.
Oh, boy. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with it. And, yeah, if they'll have me, I'll be living in the ski resort park. Lots again in no time.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so I remember last year or the last one that you built was really heavy. So you had to like tackle putting it together with more lighter weight material just so it was more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean it worked. I drove the last one to Alaska. That was like a 5,000 mile drive. It worked.
That's mellow.
But yeah, it was just pretty heavy. It was like 10,000 pounds. And most, you know, like back of the truck campers, like 1,500 pounds. It was like 8 of them stacked on top of each other.
And so what's this one? What's the material that you're using for this one?
The material, so it's a soft shell camper, which is new out there in the world. So it's made out of North Face duffel bag.
Oh, wow.
So I got some like leftover material from them and built a camper out of it. It's a aluminum frame and then some insulation and then just duffel bag on the inside and the outside. Kind of like a yurt feel, mobile yurt.
Very cozy.
Hey, or like an insane asylum because it feels like kind of like padded walls and like stuff.
I like it.
Walls.
Hey, I want to say congratulations. And the last thing I just saw of yours was Austin Smith bids a fond farewell to Nitro after 12 years of good times. I watched the video. It was really cool. But that brings the question of, okay, so what are you riding? What's next? What's the future board under your feet?
These little soft openings have been eager to get in at those resorts because, yeah, we're testing out new gear right now.
This is we.
Starting a new.
Who's yeah, the who's we?
Me and some friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
blank boards.
What's up?
So you're just riding like borrowed boards, just trying some new stuff out.
No, there are some boards. They got graphics on them and everything at this point.
Really? Because up everybody else, so you should just try to get on K2.
Yeah, we're doing our own thing.
Oh, you're doing your own thing. Okay.
Yeah, start a snowboard company, Todd. Hey, learn from you. Speaking from experience.
Yes, I am speaking from experience. It's a great time. It's really about the experiences, Austin. Then I mean, money is fleeting. You just go get some more.
Exactly. And in these times, it seems like a good time to try to start a company. So
really good time.
It's really good. Has this been announced? Like, do you have the name for the company and everything, or are you holding back for now?
I'm holding back for now, but yeah, it's all been we're getting pretty close. I've been riding kind of all sorts of different equipment this year, and which I should have done while I was snowboarding for Nitro, is like test other people's equipment. The good and bad.
That was not my name. We tried to name it Awesome, you know.
Okay.
Couldn't get the trademark on it, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about you here, Austin. So
hey, Austin,
you do realize why everyone why all these companies out there have like the stupid drop the vowels names, because then when you go to name something, you're like, oh, everything trademarked, right, taken, whatever, and then you're like, oh, that's why people either do that or just name it after themselves, and they're like, well, what's my last name? Well, that works. I'm pretty cool.
Smith boards
and goggles, you know?
There you go. Well, thanks, Austin, for checking in. I hope that you get a couple more days on the hill. Now, Bachelor is only open for like 8 or 9 days. Is that how it's going?
Yeah, 9 days, and hopefully I'll get I need to like hire a team of refreshers to band together and try to get some tickets. So hopefully we'll get some days in the next few days. But honestly, I think it's gonna be an awesome summer for Mount Hood. Mount Hood's gonna be back with a vengeance this year. So I'll be there all summer.
Best of luck. Have you heard anything about the camps? Are they
Yeah, it's just with old Bobby Meeks on Saturday, kind of getting a rundown from him. And yeah, they're still figuring out what they're gonna do, but they're definitely doing something, and it's pretty cool up there. He's bringing some new blood and new life into it, and yeah, Mount Hood's gonna be thriving. I mean, he's like the most ultimate adult camper. He's like a 45-year-old, 12-year-old or whatever, so he's a good dude for the job up there.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's weird they let him around kids still, but that's all right. All right, Austin, we will see you later. Have fun at Bachelor.
Nice meeting you.
Take care. We'll see you later.
Real life someday.
Bye.
All right. Great check-in. So that was snowboard news, Chris.
That's right. That was rad. I want to go snowboarding with Austin tomorrow.
He's a good snowboarder.
That means we're moving on to nerd news brought to you by Panic and Coffee and Tea. We're going to jump right in. We've got a very special guest. He is a comedian. He is a singer for many amazing punk bands. He is a record label owner. He is the one and only Joe Sib. There he is. And he is connecting to audio. This is Joe Sib. Usually he has a microphone like this, and he's going, yeah. But now he's talking in his closet. Hi, Joe.
Wow, you are in your closet.
Literally. My wife's closet.
This is sweet.
Hey, Joe. This is Todd.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hello.
Todd, Joe. Yep.
That looks good.
Oh, yes, put that on. Let's do this.
Dude, I feel like Elton John lives here. Like, I didn't know that.
Well, you, yeah, I mean, the next performance could be amazing. So, like I said, Joe Sib is a touring comedian. He has toured recently with Metallica and Jim Brewer a couple years back. And Joe and I had just been talking on DM on Instagram, and he sent me these amazing cartoons from his time, not only on tour with Metallica, but starting his band and doing all this fun stuff. So let's talk about the cartoon project that Joe Sib has been doing lately. It's hilarious. It's fun to watch. It's right up there with my favorite cartoons. But you tell me, how did this whole thing start? What is it?
Thanks, Chris. Well, dude, first of all, thanks for having me today, dude. Super stoked on that. Hey, do you know Keith Meeks?
Yeah.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah. Were you guys really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent me this hat, Meeks Jabra. So I had to sport it today. I figured you guys knew him from, you know, from hanging.
Stuff,
yeah. Yeah, I grew up with him in Santa Cruz. So he's, yeah, him and I, I've known him forever.
Slasher.
Yeah. Oh, dude, legend. That guy, I saw him get kicked out of the Ramones too. You know how small he is? They like picked him up and threw him out of the show. And like, of course, the whole like club was friends with Keith. So everyone left to go get Keith back into the show. The cartoons started from basically, I'd made them a while ago. And during quarantine, I was just kind of figuring out a way to like maybe take everyone's mind off of everything that's going on. And I reached out to my buddy who had designed them. And I said, hey, can we kind of do a different rendering and maybe make them shorter? And let's put them out just to take people's minds off of everything that's going on. And he did. And then they're just basically little snippets of stories that I've told. Like the one that's up there right now is basically about how when I was a kid, I was always the kid that paid $6 to get into the punk rock show. And then I would slam dance for like 8 hours. And like, I never did drugs, you know? So I was always the dude that was there from beginning to end. And how, you know, my parents were giving me advice to go to college, or, you know, the people that love you were telling you that, you know, I should do more with my life. And then this one guy, one particular night, roadie on stage, that was putting away like everything, moving the PA back. He basically was like, are you in a band? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why not? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, you're more into it than the people on stage, man. I mean, like, you thrashed everything in this whole, you know, on stage, and I'm putting it together because of you. And every weekend I have to do that because you come here and you're so into it. And that was like the light bulb went off where I was like, I'm going to go start a band. You know, that's what I want. That's basically where like my whole life started. Cause you know, I grew up skateboarding in San Jose, California with Cab and Corey O'Brien, Gavin O'Brien, and all those guys were at my home park, Winchester, stayed friends with them. And then they, all of us kind of were in the right place, right time when punk rock hit the suburbs, and I never looked back.
Hell yeah. So yeah, you had a band called Wax, you're a band, yep, called 22 Jacks, and you started Side One Dummy Records. Yep. All those things put together, I mean, that's a musical powerhouse there. So let's start with that lens, right? So record label owner, obviously this whole madness has affected everybody, but you know, music and live performance, that's how bands make money. And that's how, you know, people feed their families basically in a lot of cases. So tell me about what you've had to do with the music side of things, the label and your own bands.
I mean, when it first started, I was actually up doing shows in San Francisco at a place called The Punchline, one of the premier comedy clubs. And I was so psyched to be there. And you could just tell, like, I had just finished shows literally in New Jersey and New Jersey, Philadelphia, like everywhere that it hit the hardest. I literally was there 2 weeks before. So I was convinced, I'm all, man, if there's one guy that has it, I got it. I was in San Francisco. They said, you know, I finished my weekend there. When I got back down to Southern California, I talked to my partner, you know, Bill, who started Side One Dummy with me. And I had one of our artists on the phone, this guy named Andy Frasco. His record was just getting ready to come out, and his whole year was planned. You know, he was doing Bonnaroo, every festival over in Europe. He had everything set up. His record was coming out. And, I remember saying to him, I'm all, hey, you know, I think they're going to shut it down. And everyone thought I was a little crazy. And I'm like, I'm telling you right now, you know, I think we're going to go into a quarantine, a lockdown. I mean, I didn't know, you know, what it would look like. But at that moment, I knew that we were going to have to figure out for these artists a way that we could possibly still be able to release their records, but also at the same point, figure out how we can still generate income for them, because, you know, we don't do the live shows for them. That's their bread and butter. Our thing is putting the music out, getting it, you know, on Spotify playlists, getting it into places that also open doors for them to play live. Like, I've always felt that being on Side One Dummy, the reason you signed to Side One Dummy is, we're going to think about ways to create opportunities for the band. And a lot of those opportunities are all about playing live. So when that disappeared, we really kind of just, you know, we also had to take a moment to just embrace what was going on and not try to, like, there was a lot of people that were like, and this is just my personal opinion, that were like, it's business as usual. And I was, you know, my partner and I were like, you know what? It isn't business as usual. We got to take a moment here and rethink what we're doing. And I really feel grateful that the people that I work with, the people that are at Side One Dummy, the bands I work with, everyone was on the same page. And everyone, like Andy Frasco, was like, you know what? Maybe I can start doing some stuff from my house live. He ended up doing this thing called the Andy Frasco Shit Show that does, it's amazing. It's like watching late night TV with like Jimmy Fallon, but it's just from comics to musicians, and he's coasted. Then we have another artist who had a record drop last Friday, Nocco Bear and Medicine for the People. I'm an amazing guy, surfer, skater. Everyone needs to check him out. Check out Andy Frasco as well too. But yeah. Nocco, he did the same thing, man. He was just like, you know what? I'm gonna step back and I'm gonna figure out a way that I can speak to my fans. As we've all done, Chris, we're doing these Zoom things. When I first started doing, I didn't even know what Zoom was until March. People would ask me to do a Zoom meeting, and I was such a boomer. I was like, nah, yeah, not going to happen. And they were like, why not? I'm like, dude, I talk on the phone. I'm old school. You know, like, I leave a message still. When you know how now when someone calls you, they, oh, all right, he didn't answer. I'm like, yo, what's up, Chris? What's up, man? How you doing, bro? Like, I go for your mom style. Like, just talk and no one's there. You know, and the thing that I realized was, I was like, I had two choices: A, to embrace it, or not embrace it and just get depressed. And what we started doing was, we started doing more things like this. We started talking to our artists about doing more things like this. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing shows. Literally, I did a show, and I did it for 4 weeks, and now I do it every other week. It's called Joe Sib Live from a Tiny Closet, and I do a show out of my wife's closet because my family's taken over the house. You know, I said, hey, can I maybe do it in the living room? And they were just like, no, Call of Duty, get out. You know, that's all that's ever going on there is just Call of Duty, just marathon sessions. Yeah. You know, I paid for the TV. I've never watched a program.
Yeah, that I don't get to use that one anymore. That's taken over. We got Apex going on over here. I'm surprised it's not actually going on right now, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, and then, you know, I just was like, I was joking around because I would always take a phone call in here. And then a friend of mine, we did a FaceTime thing, and he was like, he was laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? He's like, God, I can't believe you're reduced to your wife's closet. And I was like, it's actually nice in here. And I'm like a kind of dude, like, I eat the same thing for lunch. I don't, you know, I wear black t-shirt. Like, I'm not like a fancy dude. So I was like, I don't need a lot. And then I started doing the Zoom show, you know, live from a tiny closet. And you know, the first night I did it, I had 400 people, and I was like, "That's a big comedy show," and they're from all over the world.
So comedy, I know comedy is very, you know, like the crowd is half of the show in a lot of cases. So
totally.
When you come up with your set and you're kind of thinking, okay, well, the crowd work will be part of this, you have to kind of switch everything up. What did you do to tailor your set to dead silence when you hit the punchline?
Yeah.
You know, timing and the cadence and everything. How'd you have to switch things up?
Well, at first, when everyone was doing the Zoom show, they weren't doing it like we, like right now. I did one on Friday night for a group out of San Diego that there was a group of people, these cancer patients that like they just have a group. And like, you know how like all of us might go surfing together? They all hang together because they have cancer, which is a trip. They're so fun. Talk about people that were inspiring, man. And I got asked to do a comedy show for them. Normally with the Zoom show, people were doing it where you couldn't see their faces and no audio. It was just me talking. So when I was doing that, I realized really quick, don't be funny. And instead I would just tell stories and talk about how I was getting through quarantine and more or less almost do kind of like an interview. And that went really well for the people that were watching. We're like, oh, this is cool. He's not trying to be funny every 5 minutes or because when you go to a comedy show, you want jokes. Mm-hmm. But for that type of format, it was a different muscle. So I wasn't. But recently what people have been doing is they have been doing what we're doing right here, where everyone signs on. So you have like 70 people. And you can see, say 20 of them, and the rest of them are there. But everyone is on their video, and everyone is taking their audio on too, but they're not talking. So when you're doing a bit, it's like talking to someone on the phone where you're like, oh my God, the other night A, B, and C happened. And then the laugh happens because the people laugh into their computer. So it's a different rhythm. But I'm telling you, the other night when I did it on Friday night, it was so much fun. And I was literally, I'm not joking, I was doing full on like stand up and doing jokes out of this closet. And it was like when I got done, I was like, wow, I did stand up. It was weird. You're doing stand up to a computer. I can see these people's faces. I could hear them laughing. But it was funny because you could still get a heckler. Like I would say something. And, I made this joke about, there was a woman that was on there that was Italian, and she's like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, I'm Italian. And I said, I love Italian women because they're beautiful. And everyone's like, oh, and I go, and as they get older, they become handsome.
Yeah.
And then, everyone laughed, and then she kind of yelled back, and I'm like, whoa, 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 you got to mute for a second. But it's cool, but all I can say, Chris, is it's like, as you are learning, both of you, it's a different rhythm. It's a different muscle. It's like skating, like you go to the ramp and you're skating transition, different mindset. You go skate the curb, different mindset. You go surfing, you're longboarding, different mindset. You're shortboarding, different mindset. You're pulling into barrels, which I've never done. That's got to be a different mindset.
I don't know that one either. Hell yeah, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us from your closet. I saw on your website, you do have dates announced for June. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. So hopefully we're going to see you live and in person soon. But where can we all watch live from the closet show?
Yeah, you have anything live from your bathroom? Like, you ever think about maybe mixing it up a little bit?
No, I don't know. I feel weird doing live from your bathroom. That seems like you get into trouble. Like, you'd have a knock at your door at some point.
Yeah, my bathroom behavior is weird.
Yeah.
Where can we get the Joe Sib closet experience?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, just follow me on Instagram because I'm a big Instagram guy. That's my deal. So it's Joe_Sib. Hit me up on there. And then I always post whenever I'm doing the show. And then anything else I have going on live. I hope we do shows. I hope we do shows in June, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I hope I can do your show, Chris. I know that Grant Cotter told me all about it. He says it's super rad.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're definitely coming when we get the green light to do it. Thank you, Joe Sib, coming at us from his wife's closet. Maybe we'll get a fashion show next time. Thank you for being on the Monday Mass. And that was
thanks for having me, guys.
Rad, we'll see you
later, bro.
Yew! Right on. Well, wow. Todd,
that was a show. Awesome. That was a show.
Oh, my gosh. We should just end it from the closet. That was great.
That was good.
All right. Well, thank you guys, everybody, for watching. Thank you to all of our guests. And congratulations to all our guests for doing awesome stuff through these challenging times. Hashtag. I love you, Todd. I hope to see you in real life soon.
I'll see you tomorrow. Let's go skate the library. Bring your launch ramp later.
Perfect.
We're super into launch ramp now. Again, I don't know if you guys out there are into launch ramping, but it's super good for about 15 minutes, and then you can't walk.
Absolutely. Well, I'll see you at the launch ramp.
All right. Later.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
On Friday, Detour Live, we'll be there.
Oh, yeah, Detour Live.
All right, we'll be there. Thank you, Transition Productions and Action Sports Productions and all of our sponsors. Bye.